Hey friends, welcome to Living in His Purpose podcast, where we recognize that in God's purpose, He has the perfect spot for you. If you're a Christian woman and you're feeling overwhelmed and anxious by this rat race way of life, and you're ready to find simplicity God's way, you're in the right spot. By replacing negative mindsets and habits with God's word, we're going to give Holy Spirit permission to come in and help us walk bravely in this upside down world. These are not easy things to face, sweet friend. You're going to have to put on your big girl pants. So pull them up, grab a drink, and let's get going. Hi friends, so glad you're here today. Have you ever heard that phrase, people will just keep on peopling? I've heard that a few months ago and I thought that is so simple and it's so true. People do people, don't they? It's what we do. It's how we see the world. It's how we react to the world. We just keep peopling. And sometimes that peopling hurts others. And as Christians, what do we do when we're hurt by others or when we're in the middle of circumstances that are beyond our control? So last weekend, I went to a women's Bible conference that was here in my little hometown called Embrace the Journey. It's a wonderful experience. They have great speakers, and I really appreciate that we have something so profound occurring here in this little town every year. And one of the things that struck me as I was listening to the speakers was, first of all, how brave they are for getting on a stage and telling people all of the really negative things and bad times that they've gone through. And, you know, in typical woman fashion, I'm comparing myself. What have I gone through? Well, I've gone through some things, but I never feel like I've gotten through the things. I've never gotten past the negative part to the positive part. It's never been completed. I don't feel that I've come through the trial. I don't feel that the big things that have happened in my life have ever been resolved. I don't know why I'm having to learn in my life how to be just okay in the middle. And that's what I feel like. I feel like I'm in the middle. I guess I don't even know where things started to go wrong. I have no idea how things are going to get right, but here I am, stuck in the middle. How about you? Are you stuck in the middle? Does that resonate with you at all? So today, what I want to talk about are two choices we have as Christians when you're stuck in the middle. You know, in the Bible, it talks about trials and tribulations. And one of the things that I've just recently learned is that there is a difference between trials and tribulations. Trials are short term. They come and they go. Tribulations, they keep on going. They last a long time. And I'm here to tell you that's a really hard place to be. And I know this from personal experience. So there have been some points in my life where I've made the wrong choice. Instead of being strong in my hope and belief and trust in God, I despaired. I've been known to be found in the closet, weeping uncontrollably because it's not changing. Nothing is changing. And this, my friend, is a lie from the enemy, top to bottom. And I'm going to tell you why today. So let's talk about the two things that we have. We have despair and we have hope. Well, first of all, let's look at despair. I always like to get the vegetables out of the way before I get to the meat and potatoes. First of all, despair is different from sadness because it contains a complete absence of hope. Despair is when we've got our eyes fixed on our problems, all of our troubles, all the things going wrong, nothing that's going right, and we just find ourselves in this state where we're allowing grief to keep us from the hope that we have in Christ. So when we turn our eyes away from Jesus and onto our problems, we're doubting God. We're doubting that He can do what He says He can do. We doubt His abilities. We doubt that He loves us. We doubt that we're going to even make it through these circumstances. So how is despair wrong? Well, if despair is the opposite of hope, let's look at the biblical definition of hope. Hope is a joyful and confident expectation of our eternal salvation. But when we don't have this expectation that we're going to be delivered, we're essentially living as if there is no eternal salvation, and that is sin. Now, I do have to make a caveat here. I understand that there are people who are living with depression, and this can be a clinical issue. And if you're suffering from depression that's debilitating your life, you need help. You need to seek help from a professional. Okay, so now that we know the definition of despair and the definition of hope, how do we see that in our lives? So let me help you recognize things that happen when you're in despair. We move away from God. We move away from the scripture. We move away from the truth. And isn't that what our enemy wants? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, you don't know what I'm going through. You don't know how hard this is. You don't know how long it's been going on. And you don't know that there's no end in sight and there is nothing hopeful to see. Well, my dear friend, I may not know your exact circumstances, but I know each and every one of these fears. I personally know what it feels like to be in the middle of a situation and relationships that seem hopeless, that seem full of despair, and it's so, so easy just to stay focused on all of the negative. Why does God do this? Why does He allow this to happen? And you know, I don't have an answer for that. I can look at the Word and I can tell you that what the Bible says about some of it, but sometimes we don't have an answer. And I feel like that's to help build our faith. You're just going to have to make a decision in this world. Are you going to follow Jesus or are you not? If you are going to, you have to have an understanding then you're not going to know everything, but you're going to have to trust that God does. If you can't trust that He knows what's going on and that He loves you anyway, you have to work on changing that mindset. I'm not going to say there's no hope for you because there's always hope for people, but you have to be willing to do some work. So today, let me tell you where God took me with this when I was feeling like everyone else gets their prayer answered but me. I don't have to just sit and suffer in this forever. And who knows if it will ever end? What do I do with that? What do I do with all those emotions? How do I change my mindset to see possibly what God could be doing in this situation? But I'll be honest, I spend a little bit of time imagining what God can do in this situation, and I probably spend more time asking God just to help me deal with the situation. I just want to know how to get from opening my eyes up in the morning to going to bed at night and not being full of despair. And it's one word, hope. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about hope, how we get it, what it is, and why it is so important in our walk with God. So I'm going to start by asking, how well do we know our theology? Do we understand completely what was done for us on the cross? If you think it was just to take away your sins, you're only half right. In order for God to give us all the blessings that He has in mind for us, He had to remove the presence of sin. But I feel that His main objective was to fill us with these blessings. I used to live in this world where I wore blinders to all of the goodness that God offered. Unfortunately, the church I grew up in did not readily discuss all the goodness that God had to offer, just His judgment. But as I've studied and prayed and asked for guidance and wisdom, I have learned that God is up to so much more, which I just have to put in here. It's not in my notes. This is why I'm doing this podcast, because I feel that there are many, many, many people out there who do not fully understand or trust that God loves them, and He does. So we've recognized the problem. We've got despair, and we're having a hard time seeing hope in this. So we're going to look at Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to look at God's prescription for us when we are still in the middle of our tribulations and our trials. And I want to give you hope, sweet friends, because hope is untouchable. Okay, in verse 1, we see what is actually the fruit of our faith in Christ. With that faith that Jesus died for our sins, we are now privy to many, many blessings. First of all, we've been justified. And if you don't know what that means, I once heard a preacher say how to remember this word and what justified means. So you say this instead, it is just as if I had never sinned. I thought that was very clever. And actually, when I say the word justified, I hear that every time in my head. Okay, so we're justified. Now, looking back at verse 1, because we're justified, we have peace, the peace of God. And because of our faith, we have access to His mercy. We have bragging rights in the hope of God's glory. Now, this sounds super good right now, doesn't it? Really flying high with joy and good vibes. But God always gets serious. He gets down to the nitty-gritty because He knows we live in a fallen world and we live in the nitty-gritty. His suffering on the cross, it comes with a cost to us. And here is where we see it in verse 3. And He tells us that we are to glory in our sufferings. Huh, not what I'm looking for. How about you? But what does that mean, to glory? Well, it might be better if we just switch the word with another translation option, like to rejoice or to boast. So we are not to be overcome by grief and despair as we are suffering. And here is why. Because as Christians, God will always, always, always turn the bad into good. How does he do this if you've been suffering tribulations for a long time? Well, if we keep our hearts and minds on Christ, he will take these tribulations that we're going to have anyway, and out of them, he's going to produce perseverance, which could be another way to say patient enduring or sustaining. And this is a characteristic of a man or woman who is not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith. Perseverance just means no matter what happens, you're going to know there's a purpose and you're going to stick to your faith. And remember, our faith is all we bring to the table with Jesus. We have faith and he does everything else. But don't worry if you don't have enough faith. He's the author of more faith. So we are all good. Nothing to worry about. And I used to worry a lot about this. This is why I say this. I used to put a lot of stress on myself because I couldn't keep all the rules. I couldn't stop crying or feeling all of that despair. And then I would feel guilty because I didn't have enough faith. And once I learned that Jesus is the author and finisher of my faith, I was able to let go of all that I expected of myself because Jesus doesn't expect us to do the work. And when we screw up, he's already taken that into account. He already knows that. So when he's making his plans, he's already made them with the account that you've screwed up. Isn't that great? We don't have to worry. Let it go. Just let it go and just move forward in faith. Okay. So perseverance is about doing the right thing, even if your circumstances haven't changed. Now, as we continue to persevere, what do we get out of that? What's the purpose of persevering? Well, it says we get character. And I heard a preacher recently say that he found no other way to get character than right here, through tribulation and perseverance. That just doesn't even sound fair, does it? So what exactly does character mean? What is that? I looked it up in the dictionary, and it's defined as the way someone thinks, feels, and behaves, someone's personality. Or another way to see it would be that character refers to our moral qualities, ethical standards, our principles. If we want to become more like Jesus, and as his followers, this should be our goal and our desire, we have to get out of our way. He wants to mold us into being more like Christ, and he does that by purifying us. He's pulled us out of the world, and now we need to learn the right way to think, feel, behave, the right moral qualities to have, the right ethics and principles. And this is how he does it. He uses tribulations that we're going to have anyway to teach us perseverance, which gives us godly character. And what's the end goal here? It's the last word in verse 4. It's the whole point of this podcast today. Hope. This is the end goal, to be filled with hope. It's the completion to this cycle. In verse 5, we see that hope does not put us to shame, or another way to say it is hope does not disappoint. Disappoint is a negative word. What's the opposite of disappoint? It's appoint. So if it doesn't disappoint, what does it appoint? Did you follow that? I had to write it down to say it correctly. Hope appoints. So this is how things work. Tribulations produces perseverance in my life. Perseverance produces character in my life. Character produces hope in my life. Hope in my life produces divine appointments in my life. And these appointments are the blessings, the arrangements that God has made for me before the beginning of time to be at certain places with certain people doing certain things. And then I can know that I am being led by God. What good is hope then? It's only good if it's in God. It is not good if we're just using that hope to change our situations. So what does God say in his word about hope? Well, he says a lot. And so I tried to minimize the verses, so we're not here till tomorrow. But I pulled a few verses out, maybe help you see the power of hope. And my favorite one is Psalm 71:5. And he says, "For you are my hope, O Lord God." In Psalm 119:43, he says, "Do not snatch your word or truth from me, for your regulations are my only hope." Paul says in Acts 23:6, "My hope is in the resurrection of the dead." Romans 15:13 says that God is the source of hope. 1 Corinthians 13:13 reminds that three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. Ephesians 1:18, Paul's praying for them, and he says, I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Ephesians 2:12 reminds us that when we lived in this world without God, we lived without hope. 1 Thessalonians 1:13 reminds us we have enduring hope because of our Lord Jesus Christ. All of this to say, my dear friends, we have an answer when we wonder, why are we going through long, hard times? God is refining us. He's growing us closer to him. He's making us better people here on earth. He's giving us stories that others need to hear. And as a good friend of mine reminded me this weekend, we all have stories. I'm praying that you will be brave and go share yours. I promise, someone needs to hear your story. And if you're in a long period of tribulation, you don't have to wait till the end to learn perseverance, character, and hope. You can have it anytime you're ready. And here I'm going to share my favorite verses that I found in hope. It's found in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21 through 25 or 26. He says, yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who depend on him, to those who search for him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord. I don't know about you, but I'd like my salvation from my tribulations to become sooner than later. But just to be real, that might not happen. We might be in the middle of these tribulations until Jesus comes back or we join him in heaven. We still have our hope, though, no matter what's going on. The goal of our faith is our hope. What these verses are saying in Romans is that we should be looking forward to going through these trials and tribulations because as a reward at the end, through all of the molding that's going to happen to us, we're going to receive this hope. I want to end with this verse in 1 Peter 1:13. So prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. We need to remember that our goal is not to make everything perfect here in life, but to understand our perfection will come when we're in heaven. And to also remember that we can't control things. And you have to find the joy or this world is going to suck that life right out of you. So don't forget, friends, that we have constantly working within us, within our spirit, the Holy Spirit that God has given us to fill our lives with love and peace and mercy and grace and understanding and long-suffering and self-control and patience. He's given all of this to us. We don't have to live in that despair. We don't have to live in a world where we focus on the pain that we have from the things that are just not resolved, whether it's relationships or circumstances. We are more than overcomers as Christians. We have everything we need. It's time for us to live in that. It's time for us to grasp what it is that we carry within us, this light that we have, and we need to take it to the world. We need to be brave, share this with others to make the love of God known to all. That's what's found in your story. Go share it with people. They need to hear it. They need to hear what God is doing in your life. And I thank you for being here with me today. I hope that you've been encouraged. I hope that you can now look at your mindset, how you're feeling and thinking and dealing with the hard things that you're currently in the middle of, and understanding we have the ability to change. We have that ability because of the work that the Spirit is in us. We have the ability to change our mindset towards anything, even the really difficult things that we don't see an end to. Because remember, we all have a story. Have a great week, and I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for joining me. If you've enjoyed what you've listened to, take a listen to the other episodes and give me some feedback, would you? Either on Apple Podcasts, I'm on Facebook, leave a review or a thumbs up, and I'd love to hear what you have to say. I've got my email attached to below in the show notes, and reach out. I'd love to hear from you. And at the end here, I want to say how grateful I am for all of the listeners that have joined me on this journey. In the last few days, before I got to my 3-month mark, I reached over 1,000 downloads, and that was a goal of mine. And I am just tickled pink. I'm tickled pink that someone actually listened to me 1,000 times, but I'm completely humbled by that. This is a journey I'm on. I'm on a journey to learn how to change my mindset through the Word of God and how to encourage others to do the same. God is good all the time. We need to remember that. We need to share that. So bless you, friends, and I'll see you next time. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for being here with me, and I'm hoping that you received a word. Let me close with a passage of scripture. Rejoice in your confident hope, be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. By doing this, sweet friend, you're going to find that you can take those thoughts captive and change that mindset and be anxious for nothing. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time.